Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we are talking about Reynolds v. United States.
So grab your separation between church and state.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And I'm in my gym jams. It's nearly 2 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yes.
It's just one of those days. I am T-minus 30 days from my own wedding. And honey, I'm stressed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am half in gym jams. Half in what is essentially a gym jam, but I did get up and make breakfast and cocktails this morning. Maybe you want to marry me instead?
Just kind of
make breakfast and cocktails?
He does. He is very good about making me breakfast and sort of a lot of things. Once I lay down on the couch, I'm there.
Yeah.
For hours. Hours. And Kyle has such like energy, like he always has to be moving.
He is very energetic,
your fiance. He's up and down, up and down, up and down. So every time he gets up, I'm like, hey, will you grab me this? Will you grab me that? Will you grab me this, that, this, that, this, that? And then 6 hours go by and I haven't gotten up. It's the best. So he's very good at getting up and making me breakfast and getting me things and refilling my water.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
So we do complete each other in that way.
Uh-huh.
But he does not make, we don't really drink a lot of cocktails,
you know,
in our house.
I did not either. I mean, I think before I moved in with Caroline, I had like, you know, I was a wine drinker.
Yeah.
And I had a bar at my old apartment that I have since gotten rid of because there wasn't room for it in this apartment. And it had like a few things, like a few bottles of whatever, but I never made cocktails at home.
Right.
But for whatever reason, on Sundays before she would go to her shows, because she works on the Broadway, we would do breakfast, like Sunday brunches.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like choose a special like brunch to make and then make a special cocktail to go along with it. And it started, I don't know, a few years ago, and it just stuck.
I love it. I love it. See, Kyle and I's version of that is on Saturday mornings, because that's usually the morning where we get to have breakfast together because he doesn't have to go to work. We do tater tots and eggs.
Oh.
We do tots. That's our big special
so cute
brunch thing. So, you know, same thing as a cocktail. Just a tot. It's the cocktail of the side dishes, if you really think about it.
Yes.
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 So all that to say, it's a dreary little Sunday and we are feeling relaxed, but not for long because we have...
This is an exciting one.
It's very exciting. We are, of course, doing a court case. I feel as though you always know when I need to do a court case. When I need to just, like, get back to basics. I
need to get back to basics.
Back to basics. I need to go to OEAs. I need to be with people that I know.
A reset. Although I feel like maybe I should have saved this one for your wedding because it's about polygamy. And that just would have been like a really fun one to send you off with. But
totally, totally.
Here we are.
Here we are. We're talking about Reynolds v. United States. And I'm excited to talk about this one because, I mean, who doesn't watch Sister Wives, you know?
I mean, it's kind of amazing. Also, I read through this, like, whole court case and then looked back at the like, picture of the Supreme Court. Because I read the names and stuff, but I was like, I don't recognize these names. This Supreme Court case was decided in, like, the 1800s. Like, they decided the court case on polygamy in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And that just, for whatever reason, flabbergasted me.
Oh, because what, you thought, like, it was modern?
I thought it was modern. Like, but of course, you know, Mormons have been around for a while. So it's not a new thing. But I was like, oh, my God. I don't know why. I was like, 1879? Goddamn.
Yeah. Yeah. This doesn't, that timing doesn't surprise me as much, I will say. This feels about right.
About right.
Yeah. It's like, let's deal with the issue of polygamy just before the turn of the century, just before the Industrial Revolution. Let's get this sorted.
Yeah.
So before we jump in and really address the issue,
God,
do you want to talk about today's sources of polygamy? Yes. Before we decide if we are yay or nay.
My God.
Do you want to tell us about today's sources, our friends that we're talking about today?
Oh my gosh, yes. So, of course, our first step, oh yay. Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
Mm-hmm.
Love her.
Love
Always
her.
A source of delight.
Yes.
And then the Bill of Rights Institute.
Oh, love her.
Had some great background on just the case herself.
Yeah.
And the Constitution Center had just basically like the majority opinion. We're not going to read all of it, just the kind of key, more easily digestible, the hits, the fun excerpts. Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes those opinions, those dissents, especially if the author is not a great writer, can really drag.
They can drag, and it is 1879, and so it's circuitous.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Let's open up by talking about the case, the facts of the case. What is this about? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you. So here we go. George Reynolds was a resident of the Utah Territory, and his wife was Mary Ann Tuddenham. So we have George and Mary Ann in Utah. Starting us off. He was still married to Mary Ann when he married his second wife, Amelia Jane Schofield. So now we have Amelia Jane. So we have Mary Ann and Amelia Jane and George.
All married.
Married. Well, George married to them separately.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, the two women weren't married to...
No. Right. We're not there yet. Don't be ridiculous.
We're not there yet.
No. We're not modern. Okay.
No.
Federal law at the time stated, quote, every person having a husband or wife living who marries another, whether married or single, in a territory or other place over which the United States have exclusive jurisdiction is guilty of bigamy and shall be punished by a fine of not more than $500 and by imprisonment for a term of not more than 5 years. So basically, we already have established this law.
Yeah.
Where if the U.S. is your governing body, aka the state of Utah or the Utah Territory, you can't marry two people.
No.
Can't marry two people or you will be fined $500 and spend maximum 5 years in prison.
5 years in prison. Yeah.
By being married to two women at the same time, our boy George Reynolds had clearly broken the law, which is a fact that he does not dispute. So that we're not here.
Right.
Because he broke the law. He's like... No, I know I broke the law.
I know I broke the law.
No, I totally get it.
Yes, I did do this. Like,
the law is so clear.
Right. And I have two wives.
And I have, it says you can't have two wives. And what do I have? Say it with me. Two wives.
Right.
Two wives.
Two wives.
But Reynolds, here's the twist. was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he argued that his religion required him to marry multiple women. So we have here, what's that smell? Is that the fact of the case? Is that why he's here?
Probably. That's why he's here. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why he's here. He's saying it's his religion.
Yes. So as part of Reynolds' legal defense, he argued that the law was unconstitutional because it violated his First Amendment right to free exercise of religion. He believed that his religious duty required him to marry multiple women. The penalty for refusing to practice polygamy, he says, was eternal damnation.
I mean, when you're faced with eternal damn, if you truly believe you are faced right. with eternal damnation or a fine of $500 and 5 years in prison.
Right.
If that's truly what you believe your choices are, what would He's you do?
He's like, honey, cuff me.
Cuff me.
Send me to prison.
Take my cow and send me to prison.
Yeah.
Honey, I'll be back in 5 years.
Yeah. Ladies, talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back. Polygamy is not my bag. But this to me, from the standpoint of getting to tell this story, I'm like, what a jazzy thing to be able to say in court as a right. lawyer. This man, mm-hmm. my client, risks eternal damnation should he not stay married to Marianne and Amelia Jane.
Oh my God. Where was Gregory Peck when he was needed?
Ooh, I mean, come on. It's a modern day Mockingbird, except it's not at all. It has nothing to do with that.
No.
But, I mean,
wow. I mean, it would have been, what a great order. He would have delivered a great speech.
Yeah. So because we have this true question, which honestly, it's like, yeah, you got to address this because in so many aspects, like, because of my religion is a big thing in the legal right. system of, like, you can't discriminate or force people to do something against their religion.
Right.
So this case, he gets convicted, but this case goes all the way to the top.
Right.
To the Supreme Court of the United States. Who right. considers this question? Is religious duty or belief a defense to a criminal charge? That's a big question.
It's huge. Could you imagine? And obviously, I think just given the question, and then, like, give it a little bit of thought. You mm-hmm. can kind of guess what the Supreme Court decided.
Sure.
Because if they'd ruled the other way, it would be a mockery.
Totally.
It would be a mockery. Because you can just create religions. Like, that's not, yes. like, Stephen Colbert did it.
Totally.
Right? So, like.
Totally.
You could just, or like, oh, no, wait, did he create?
He I think just, it's no, John created, Oliver.
John
Wasn't
Oliver.
It John Oliver? Yeah.
Was it John Oliver? Oh, right. And then Stephen Colbert created the pack.
Yeah.
Right? He created the pack. And yeah. The,
They're yeah, all the late night hosts are doing, right. are basically proving how easy it is to do this stuff. Yes. Right.
So, like, you know, you can create your own religion. Like, people do right. it every day. And then as long as you can say, you know, this is for, and then I did it for my religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it?
It opens a can of worms. It's not, like, even though this is the polygamy case, it's actually right. not about polygamy. You know what I mean? The polygamy is just like the current thing on the agenda, like that's right. causing the question.
Right.
But this isn't like a.
It's not about polygamy.
Right. They're not necessarily commenting on if they agree with polygamy or not. They're basically commenting on, like, can you use religion in any way to right. justify something that goes against what the law is in the United States?
Right. Polygamy is just like the vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the Supreme Court decision.
Yes.
So the Supreme Court upheld Reynolds' conviction and Congress's power to prohibit polygamy unanimously on January 6th, 1879.
Mm.
So they said, yeah, you violated the law.
Yeah. Sweeping. Yeah.
Sweeping unanimously.
Unanimous. They're like, unanimous. Honey? No notes. No dissent.
No notes. And they upheld Congress's power to prohibit polygamy. Because for them at this time, and I'm sure if this came before the court, for a lot of justices, or for a few justices, a number of justices, it would also be about religion and marriage and the sanctity mm-hmm. of marriage. So for these guys, it also was, yes, about that.
Yeah.
So they upheld Congress's power to prohibit polygamy. The court held that while Congress could not outlaw a belief in the correctness of polygamy, it could outlaw the practice of polygamy. So, of course, you cannot outlaw somebody's thinking about polygamy totally. Because... What? You can't yeah. do that. You can't outlaw yeah. thinking. That's yeah. impossible.
Yeah.
But you could outlaw somebody practicing it.
Yeah. Or you can outlaw saying, hey, I love me some polygamy. I right. literally love it.
Right.
People can say that all they want. You just legally can't be married to someone.
You can't like, be married to two people. Can't.
Yeah.
No. No. You can't do that. The majority reasoned that while marriage is a sacred obligation, it nevertheless is usually regulated by law in most civilized nations. So what they did, and we're not going to read the entire majority opinion, but a lot of the majority opinion, they went back and they looked at, like, what have they done in other parts of Europe? What have they done sure. In other cases around the country? Like,
yeah.
they went
Which
back and looked
I
at other things.
I have to say, it feels like something, and I could be talking out of my ass, but when I think of, like, the sort of heavy hitter court cases we've had decided in, you know, the past 2 years that have been really, you know, big bombshell cases, they're not looking globally anymore.
No, no.
You know,
they're just looking at the Constitution and they're like, it doesn't say gay marriage in the Constitution. We did a right. control F and we don't see it. So it's not yeah. there. So you can't have it.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I don't think we've ever examined a court case where in the decision they have kind of really gone out
yeah.
like to see if there's basis elsewhere.
Yeah. And they do that pretty extensively in this decision. Like yeah. they go out and they look and they're uh-huh. like, no, like this isn't just us.
Right.
This is going on for eons where pretty much most civilizations think of marriage as between one person and one person, not three people.
Right.
And basically they conclude that like a healthy society is based on a two-person marriage. And that's why they rule against Reynolds.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, finally, the court held that people cannot avoid a law due to their religion, mm-hmm. which I agree with.
Yeah.
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 I think, yeah, like, you know, laws, I feel like, can't target specific religions. Like, that is right. not correct. Like,
right.
can't be like, all Catholics, you know, you can't be Catholic or all Catholics can't do XYZ, whatever.
Right.
But because you are Catholic doesn't mean you
get out of
it. Follow the law.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Sure. I'm with them so far.
Like yeah. this opinion, there are some things where I was like, all right, this feels a little 1879-ish, but I can see where they're going. Cause okay. But overall, I would say, like, yeah, like 80% of this opinion, I'm like, yeah, okay.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. I kind of wish we had kept going in this vein, you know, like in terms right. of religion and state, because they do make a very clear, I feel like one of the things they talk about and skirt around and they could have done a better job nailing down is like this difference between, or that like the religious freedom clause is about religious freedom in terms of the state, not
mm-hmm.
like religious freedom to do kind of whatever you want. And that's what this case is about. And so I don't think that was necessarily a focal point for the state to
right.
talk about, for the Supreme Court to talk about, because it was like this guy Reynolds was like, I did break the law. Like it is a state versus
yeah.
religion yeah. argument.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, right. Like this would have been a really great court case to talk about like more of that fracture.
Because
I feel like now we're so focused on like religious freedom in terms of like, you know, bakers and freedom of speech as yeah. opposed to church and state, which right. is originally how it was thought of.
Right.
But let's read some of the majority opinion.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I tried to cut out and leave in the good parts.
Great.
Yeah. So the majority opinion was written by Chief Justice Morris Waite.
Okay.
He says, the question is raised whether religious belief can be accepted as a justification of an overt act made criminal by the law of the land. The inquiry is not as to the power of Congress to prescribe criminal laws for the territories, but as to the guilt of one who knowingly violates a law which has been properly enacted if he entertains a religious belief that the law is wrong.
Okay, so we're summarizing, like, the why case. We're here.
Why we're here. We're summarizing why we're here.
Basically, like the question is, if I think the law is wrong because of my religious belief, am I guilty for violating it?
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. And we're taking for a given that, like, Congress has the power to make the laws.
Yeah. We all agree on this.
That are governing this territory. Like, we're taking for a given that, right. Because, like, Reynolds wasn't like, no, I live in Utah. It's not a state, so it's a territory, so they don't get to make, this isn't a don't tread on me case.
Yeah. No. We're all agreeing. Congress can make the laws.
Right.
And that we follow the laws.
Right.
Totally.
Right. So the majority opinion goes on to say, quote, marriage, while from its very nature a sacred obligation, is nevertheless, in most civilized nations, a civil contract and usually regulated by law. Upon it, society may be said to be built, and out of its fruits spring social relations and social obligations and duties with which government is necessarily required to deal.
Totally. So again, it's like, and now we all agree on this part, right?
Right.
Where it's like, in civilized societies, marriage is sacred, yes, but it's also like, business, right? Like,
right.
People join together, they join households, they produce offspring in many cases, they operate as a unit, mm-hmm. and the government has to adapt to that and mm-hmm. make and build their society around the idea that there are people who are joining together, who have different rights, obligations, especially in this time period, than people mm-hmm. who are single.
Right. Right, because if you take units and meld them together. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so again, I feel like we all agree.
We all agree. The only question which remains is whether those who make polygamy a part of their religion are accepted from the operation of the statute. Suppose one believed, I love this so much.
They really go 0 to 100.
It's really 0 to 100. We agree, right? All of the given circumstances, we agree. But
We've been so reasonable up until this point. Morris has been very chill in this up climb. Like, we agree on this, we agree on that, agree on that. But what about, say it, Arden?
What about? What if one believed that human sacrifices were a necessary part of religious worship? Would it be seriously contended that the civil government under which he lived could not interfere to prevent a sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. Well, and here, okay, to be fair, because this is like going 0 to 100, but I guess going back to our previous conversation about how they've like looked at the world at large, I mean, you know, there have been historical civilizations. I don't know if they are active at this time period in 1879 in sort of the mainstream. Where,
I don't think they were doing this.
There have been religions that have practiced human sacrificing. Right. Like, let's shout out to my Aztecs. Shout out to my Mayans. Actually, I think it's one of those, not both of them. But that has been a thing that has been done in the name of religion.
Yeah.
Totally. So I see where, I'm back with more. So I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing here. I just feel like you're being a little, like, there's a step in between.
I see what we're doing. Yes.
Polygamy and human sacrifice. Right. But sure, yes. In the name of religion, it has been done. Anyways, carry on. It's so funny.
It's funny. I mean, it also just is like, I read the sentence and I was like, really? This exists in a Supreme Court decision? Like, human sacrifice? It's amazing. So then he goes on to say, or what if a wife religiously believed it was her duty to burn herself upon the funeral pile of her dead husband, Would it be beyond the power of the civil government to prevent her carrying her belief into practice?
Mm-hmm.
So whether murder for religious sacrifice or some kind of murder-suicide pact for religious sacrifice or just a suicide.
Just suicide, yeah.
For a religious purpose. Which,
again, though dramatic, this does exist. This is a practice that does exist in the world. Again, I don't know if at this time it was actively being done, but like, sure.
Or again, people are indeed just bananas and think that they are doing things because it is for a religious purpose. And, you know, anyway, but the fact that this is the argument, this is, you know, what's being, that it exists in it. What?
Well, something that I find fascinating because my wheels are turning.
I know.
My wheels are turning because I see the art. I see how he's making this argument, right? He's using two really graphic and extreme things that have been done in the name of religion that should shock and horrify the average person, right? Like, anybody on the street generally is going to be like, no, government shouldn't allow human sacrificing, and no, they shouldn't allow anybody jumping onto a fire to burn themselves with their spouse. Right. Totally. However, what's really interesting about those two examples is that when they were active at their time, they were approved by
that's
the leadership
so true.
In place.
Right.
So right, that's where so I true. Feel like I see what Morris is doing, but it's actually like it actually was approved.
We just find it horrifying now because we've come so there's like I'm not going to remember the name of this author, but like there's a guy who basically like this is like the stuff that he studies, and he for as much his conclusion, and I'm going to get it very wrong, but his conclusion basically is like we seem to think that we are a very violent species right now, but actually over the course of time, if you study humanity, we are the least violent we have ever been, specifically because of things like this, because we now find it grotesque to like, you know, murder people for religious sacrifice. Like that was a thing that happened.
Yeah. And that everybody was like, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
That's
that
great
one,
because it's serving
good.
The Bring gods.
Yeah.
And that will yield crops and it will, like this sacrifice and same with like being burned with your spouse. Like if you don't do that, you are looked upon poorly, especially the woman. Like you are cast, like ostracized.
Right.
And honestly, probably killed anyways for not doing that. Like it's expected of you.
Right.
By the powers that be to do these things in the name of religion. Now, I think where Morrison goes awry is that he's using examples from civilizations where religion was the sole driving force behind lawmaking, as opposed to our society and our constitution and all of that, where we painstakingly made it very separate.
Right.
Like you have the right to religion, but there is a distinct separation between why we make laws and religion. Because if you combine the both, you get to the extreme of human sacrifice as part of the government. It's part of Congress.
Yeah.
We open a session of Congress by sacrificing a human. You know, like that's the extremeness that we could have gone to. I mean, we wouldn't have, but like, you know.
Yeah.
So these examples at a surface level work, but actually when you break it down, kind of prove to me Gregory's point of like these civilizations, like this was expected of them. You know, like this is what I'm saying.
Oh, right,
because like,
that's what he's saying. He's saying like, I have no choice.
Yeah,
he's
I have no choice. Like, if they didn't sacrifice that human, they wouldn't have crops and then everybody would die.
Right.
If I don't marry Marianne.
Right.
I'm going to hell. Damned to hell.
Right.
Eternally, not for 60 days. Eternally.
No. Right. Your 5 years is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Again.
Yeah.
I'm not. Right. I'm not pro. Like the fact that they decided this, I'm fine with. I just think it's very interesting.
It's just very interesting. Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So he goes on to conclude. Let's read the conclusion of this really fascinating opinion by Morrison Waite. He finishes with, quote, "So here, as a law of the organization of society under the exclusive dominion of the United States." Okay.
Yeah. What?
Flex. It is provided that plural marriages shall not be allowed. Can a man excuse his practices to the contrary because of his religious belief? To permit this would be to make the professed doctrines of religious belief superior to the law of the land, and in effect to permit every citizen to become a law unto himself. Government could exist only in name under such circumstances. So he's, I mean, this to me is the argument. Yeah. All the human sacrificing stuff is like, that's not the argument. The argument is if you give somebody the right to say, I can break the law because it's my religion, mm-hmm. then you are more powerful than the law itself. And therefore right. we have no government because
right. no.
what is a government without the belief in its people that it is the superior power?
Right. Because if somebody else can come in and say, no, I don't, no. that law doesn't apply to me.
And then you're like,
which is what okay. people try to do all the time. Like that's what the, you know. The lady yeah. who didn't want to make the wedding website went in.
Right. It is really interesting. Like, it is very the conclusion
tricky.
I'm with.
It is very tricky. Yes, the conclusion I am with. It just also, polygamy seems very messy to me. I don't really, I'm very skeptical that it works, like, as a situation. But as a, from a legal standpoint, I'm like, yes, I agree with this.
Soon. Well, again, this is like, that's why this isn't a case that, I mean, in the opinion, they are casting a judgment on polygamy and equating it to human sacrificing and throwing yourself on your husband and being burned at the stake,
right.
which I don't think is fair. I think there's definitely extremes, and I am always of the belief, I'm like, you do you for you in whatever mm-hmm. situation works best for you. I'm all for it. Like, mm-hmm. not my monkey, not my circus. I'm yeah. over here living my life. And you're over there living your life. And I think it's great if you're happy and not harming anybody. But I think that this argument has, again, nothing to do with polygamy. It's just the thing that brought about this decision that you can't supersede the law because of religion.
I think that's true. But I also think they were like, polygamy, ew, gross.
Totally.
No, we can't have this.
Totally.
And because there's a lot of stuff in there's some stuff in what we read, and then there's a lot more in the argument that's like, that's about this, not the sanctity. They don't call it that. Like we would sure. use that word. They don't
oh,
use
I can't
that
even
word,
imagine.
But yeah, but they do talk about marriage and
yeah.
That's when
well,
they go back.
It's 1879.
Yeah, like they're
you gotta
very,
spend
like,
half of your opinion being like. Marriage is between one man and one woman, I said in Ezekiel 3:25-7.
They basically like want to protect it, which I can, mm-hmm. you know, I understand like from a, you know, like the time, the frame of mind of the era and all of that. And yeah. But yes, I do think it is fundamentally about like the legal question is, you know, church versus state. And
yeah.
Can one person say this rule doesn't apply to me because it violates my religious
right.
beliefs?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so therefore they could do multiple marriages, but like anybody else who was not a part of that church couldn't do it. Then you have the thing of like, okay, well, if you are a part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, you can marry more than one person. But if you are any other religion, sorry, it's 1-to-1.
Right. Well, right, because then somebody's going to take that to court and be like, this violates the equal
right.
protection clause.
Like, right, and then we're back at square one. I'm like,
okay, you're back at square one.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I imagine I would be interested to see if we ever get another, like, polygamy court case up through to the United States as we continue to sort of like modernize, you know?
It would be interesting, although I didn't put it in the notes, but I think that the Church of Latter-day Saints did, hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
But even like taking the Church of Latter-day Saints out of it, you know, like there are so many humans
yeah.
who are now in polyamorous relationships
yeah.
Who cannot all be married to each other. So I think even like I'm curious to see if we ever see this issue be brought up in a non-religious setting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1890. The church president, fearful that continuation of the practice of polygamy would lead to the destruction of Mormon temples, he announced an end to the official support for polygamy. 1890.
So like 10 years after this?
Yeah, 10 years after this, they were like, we're done. No more polygamy. Yeah. No, you're not internally damned.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, I know people who are in, you know, multiple person relationships. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, I suspect that at some point we will see another case that has to deal with multi-partner marriages.
Right, right. And the difference will be whether it's based on religion or not.
Right, like what it's based on. And, I mean, God only knows what the current makeup of the court would be at that point. But,
God.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because I know that this would be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
As a precedent, you know, but it's also like, I'm sure a lot of what is said in their opinion about the sanctity of marriage and all of this stuff is outdated by like new precedents that have been set around the equality of marriage. So only time will tell.
Yeah,
love who you love, be who you want to be with, just don't hurt anybody, and we're all good. Right? Love it. And that is the end of our episode. As always, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.